Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are so excited. It's every, you know, the universe is like, what happened? How did, you know? And it's like, I'm going to go bye for a moment.
Right? I'll get back with you.
Yeah, I'll get back with you. Dear Lord, you know, and it's like, but it's God. God is just encouraging many people around the nation and around the world. And I just want to encourage you today in today's program that our God is bigger than anything that's taking place. And God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So the way we keep from being destroyed is we get knowledge. Mm-hmm. But then we take that knowledge to the cross of Christ and we abide with him and say, what do you want me to do with that knowledge? What do you want me to do? And sometimes because of fear, we're like, I don't want to know any details. Just tell me what to go. Tell me what to do. And that's called slavery. You know, that's not who God is. You know, we choose to bond ourselves to Jesus, but he does not tie us to him. And, but it's a powerful, we had a powerful, powerful a time with the Lord at the VFN Dream Center, you know, and this word that the Lord just spoke in my spirit and it just resounded in my spirit. And as I spent time with him, it just unfolded. And I want to talk about that in this program. I mean, the Lord's presence was just powerful and encouraging. There's nothing like the indwelling presence of God just to come down and hug you and say, this is me, this is a word for me, and I want you to hear it and do it. And the word was, you know, it seems right. It seems right, so let's just do it. Question mark. Right? Right. By the way, it seems right, let's just do it. And how many people really, when you think about it, I mean, the American culture is based off that seems right, right?
Right.
That seems right. And, you know, children and young people, they're really like, let's just do it. It seems right. But some point that's supposed to break, you know, at some point. But the truth is, this is a whole culture that just focuses on, you know, it just feels good. Do it.
All right.
You know, what do you think? Well, seems right. And so he began to show me the contrast between King David and King Hezekiah. And they both went through a time where, you know, this seems right. And David, what David wanted to do, he wanted to be able to, he wanted the presence of God in his life. He wanted the ark of God. He said, oh, how do I bring the ark of God to me? He was talking about, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to abide in his presence. And they says, that's what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so, man, that's good. Isn't that good? That's good. Well, that's about it. Mm-hmm. I'm having, you know, I just, that's good. That seems good. And so he went and began to poll his leaders. And what do you think? They say, seems good to me. And his generals and the people around him. And then they went out and talked to all the people and he gathered them and said, let's just do this thing. Let's just do this thing. I mean, this is David. I mean, come on, this is a man after God's own heart. I mean, what? It's going to go good because God knows his heart. God chose him. It's going to go good. I mean, if he's got a feeling, you know, it's going to work out well, right? And everybody else says, you know, it seems good. So let's just do this thing. So they go all the way to get this the ark, the presence of God, to bring it back. And when they're doing that, they put it on a cart, a wooden cart. And they start to bring it back, and they're just dancing, and they're playing music. I mean, the worship team's cranking it up a notch, man. They're just letting it go. Man, said, man, we had church. You know what I'm saying? They're just, I mean, all these trumpets and tambourines, and they, I mean, they're dancing, and they're shouting, and they're excited. I mean, this seems right. It just seems right. I mean, listen to how well they're singing and how, I mean, they're all moving together, and this is the presence of God, and I mean, it seems right, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly the wooden cart took a little bump in the road. Mm-hmm. And David had two of his best men, you know, staying there right beside it. That seems right. Mm-hmm. Right? Doesn't that seem right? Take your best men to be by, you know, what God is doing, his presence. Mm-hmm. So they're covered. Seems right to me. Nothing's going to happen to them. And it looks like it's going to fall over. And this one man, Uzzah, reaches out to steady it. That seems right. I mean, it's going to fall. I mean, wouldn't you want to steady it?
Right.
I mean, let me just put my hand on this. Let me just put my... And he reaches out his hand to stable this ark, the presence of God. And God gets angry. Now, that seems wrong. Because why is God getting angry? Because it seemed right to us. because we want you to be with us, and now you're angry at us? You know, it was going to fall over, and then God kills Uzzah right there. Now that seems wrong. I mean, think about it. You're playing the best music. I mean, you hired, listen, let me tell you something. You hired the best worship leader that America has to offer. I mean, he's got everything going. I mean, all that stuff. Got him a whole team. I mean, everybody's on 401ks and retirement plans and, you know, condos and the whatever, and they're cranking out sheet music. I mean, they are just letting it rip. I mean, that seems right. I mean, how could that be wrong? And so all of a sudden it seemed wrong. God must be wrong, because why would God be angry because we're wanting to be with him? And this is when people quite often begin to accuse God. As a matter of fact, David said, this is what it says about David. David got angry with God. Who does he think he is? And what does he want from me anyway? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to get close to him. And, you know, my best man's dead. Now everybody thinks it's a sham. You know, we were having church. You know, this all this stuff's going on. And dead folks laying around here. You know, and not only was he angry with God, he was fearful of God. And he said, you know what? You know, take God's presence and put it in that building up the street. You know, where Obed-Edom lives. Put that, you know, we're not going to bring that around my house no more, because, you know, he wanted it with him, but he found out with him can cost you your best things. And so it's like, wow. Remember, this all began with them saying, this seems right. This seems right. You know, the people were saying it seems right. Everybody was saying it seems right. Everybody was celebrating, but all of a sudden now it seems wrong. Mm. And the very leader's going, I don't know what to do with this. I just don't know what to do with it, because it doesn't look like God's pleased with us. He's very angry. And let's jump to Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah, he sees a similar situation where it hadn't been since Solomon's days, since God's people have been in the right place. And so he gathered the folks around him, and he began to say, you know, we just celebrate the Passover. We have not celebrated the Passover, you know, rightly for a long time. And the reason why we haven't is because most of the priests are unconsecrated. And what you would say today, the reason why this hasn't happened, we haven't celebrated the presence of God, is because most of the preachers and the teachers and the pastors are in sin. Mm. That's what that means, unconsecrated. And he didn't just begin to blame everybody. He began a process of bringing the people in. But anyway, he said that. And so everybody starts going, that seems good to me. That seems right. That seems right. Remember what David did when everybody said it seems right. He said, let's just do this thing. Let's just do it. Let's do a Tim Tebow, and let's just grab that ark, and we're going to shove that ark up in Jerusalem. It's going to be done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's
it's really a God thing, right?
It's a God thing, man. Grab the ball, run with it, get it to Jerusalem. And so, didn't work. Seemed wrong now. And all of a sudden, so Hezekiah gets this popular, you know, yeah, let's do this thing. And so you think, okay, let's just start having Passover. But he didn't. Then what he began to do, he began to teach people the ways of God. He began to write out in writing the ways of God and what it should be. And he sent heralds out, people, messengers, to go to all the folks and begin to tell them, listen, consecrate yourself. You know, deal with the sin in your life. He began to tell them, listen, we're going to celebrate the Passover, but we're going to have to deal with the sin and confront the things that's in our life that are wrong. And the people begin to ridicule and scorn the messengers. Think about it. Well, David, they were like jamming for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? They were celebrating and dancing and all these different things. And now Hezekiah is wanting to bring the presence of God and people back in the presence of God again. And he's doing it. He looked into the word of God, because this is the way we're going to be able to do it. And people now are like saying, well, it doesn't seem right to me anymore, Hezekiah. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't seem right. And how many people go and poll people to find out if this is right or not? You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? Is that where you are? If enough people agree with what you're sensing or you're feeling, then that's right. And so that didn't bother Hezekiah, because they understand Hezekiah was moving in the wisdom and the word of God. And so then the people that are talking specifically, this sharing this written word from the king, and they both were kings, David and Hezekiah, they begin to scorn them and ridicule them. And these are the priests. Mm. You know, these are the people of God. And it's like so many people would give up at a time like that. Well, I don't even know why I wanted to be a preacher anyway. You know, they don't even want to hear. Ah. Right? You ever have one of those meetings? Right? Hey, well, listen to nothing. I was saying anyway. But Hezekiah didn't do that. Hezekiah, I mean, we need a heart of Hezekiah towards dealing with God's people, because you have to understand there is grace for this whole transition, because you got to figure out if we're in this wrong place and God wants to bring us to this right place, there's this miracle moment of transition by the grace of God, that God gets his people because he's graceful and compassionate and loving to this right place. It's not all of a sudden everybody becomes perfect. We just begin this journey on a way in his mercy and grace. And so people are scorning and ridiculing and all this different stuff. And it's like, I can imagine if they're going back to King Hezekiah and says, they're going, people are ridiculing and scorning. He's like, everything is great. We're doing everything right. But what he says is some people from Ephraim, some people from Naphtali, some people from Issachar, just some said, this is good. And they began to respond. And we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about this. But understand, be okay with the ones that do. Don't tell people who said no, they said yes. Just look for the sum. Because there's going to be a sum total of people that say yes to God. And even the ones that say no may benefit in the long run. But you got to find the sum. Sometimes it's the one. We're talking about, it just seems good. Let's do it. And how often do people just say in the church? Mm-hmm. You know, they have a meeting. It's like, okay, what do y'all think? Seems good. And Hezekiah is going around, and he didn't just leave it. It seems good. He began to find out what God's word said, and then he began to apply what God's word said. So he did what was right before God in the context, because he knew we couldn't just do it. We had to do it God's way.
So important.
Yeah. Ask Uzzah. Anyway, so and so there were some people, a lot more people against than for, but there were some that was for. And so he began, and he had compassion. He knew that it was written a certain way that priests should be consecrated, and there wasn't enough priests to be able to do certain things in some areas. So he began to sacrifice, you know, have sacrifices for the sins of the priests. So he began to sanctify the priests. In other words, he began to pray and asking God to forgive the priests for their sins. I mean, how many people criticize church leaders and pastors and apostles and teachers instead of saying, you know what, God, forgive them. Forgive them. And if we learn from Hezekiah's ways, I mean, that's what you got to do. If you want to bring God's people to a place, we all need forgiveness. And if the individual doesn't seek forgiveness, God looks for somebody to stand in the gap. And Hezekiah began to pray on behalf of the priests, because you can't just put anybody over God's folks. You know, that would be the sin of Jeroboam. These priests had to be in this place from the Levitical priesthood. And so they began to sprinkle blood. And so he did what they didn't do to make sure God would accept it. And even in the context of that, even though at some point, because of his desired heart to celebrate the Passover the way God would want to, according to his word, and with the issues of human beings and sin being present and trying to deal with sin, but some doing what's right, God's mercy just kind of swirled over all of that. And even though some of those things were kind of contradictory towards the written word, their heart was right towards God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes your heart can be right towards God and your flesh is catching up. You know, when you're born again, the moment you're born again, you got a journey to go for everything to catch up with your spirit. And so he cried out to God. He says, God, you know, I know this is contrary to what you're saying, but I'm just asking that you would have mercy and that you would do this. And what happens is that God does. Mm-hmm. And God just shows up. And what David wanted, the presence of God, the ark of God, God gave to Hezekiah. And the presence of God was so powerful and the celebration so big, they had not seen a day like that since the days of Solomon, which is the beginning of the temple, when he dedicated the temple in the presence of God. And that's just powerful. And the question to ask is like, well, you know, David's this awesome man of God, lineage of Jesus Christ. And he had these, you know, what happened? Well, David did not, he had the right, he was right. But there's a method to accomplishing what is right. And so you can be right, but you can do it, approach it in a wrong way. Mm-hmm. And what you got to do is go to God's word. You got to go to the Bible and find out what does God say about that. God will give you a sense. He'll give you a feeling. And it's like, yes. But then you just don't run with it. You go to his word and you find out, you know, what does he say about that? And that's called studying the word of God, being a student of his word. And then you find out, oh, this is how you do it. And what David did, he got jealous because he started seeing, hey, God, this building up the street is being blessed. They got like new carpet and new chairs and PowerPoints. And, you know, we're just struggling here in our own home. And I want your presence in my home, too. And so he got jealous and he said, you know, I want your presence. But he went and read the word of God. Go figure. And George Barna says this. His study says that 81% of the church does not even pick up a Bible in America. And of the 19% that do, only 3% operate like Hezekiah is operating. Mm. And David, when he read the word, he found out that there is an order to things and that the ark cannot be carried on boards and big wheels. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people go to the board, some corporate structure, trying to make things happen, and big wheels in your organization? I know who's on the board, and I know a couple big wheels here, and we're going to get this thing done. It's like, okay, Uzzah, but I don't think it's going to end well. And because it wasn't supposed to be carried on a wooden cart, it's supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. So he put everything in order in the context of that, and he began the journey from Obed-Edom's house to his house, where he was going to bring the presence of God into Jerusalem. And every 6 feet, they stopped and literally had a sacrifice, and there was just blood pouring out. And they're saying, dear God, forgive our sins. We want your presence. And the humility and the repentance and the worship. And it's like, he didn't give up, even though he went through a time of being hurt and angry and confused and terrified of God. He just had to find out who God is in the context of getting in his word and finding out there's a way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Hezekiah, he eventually picked up and said, you know what, we're going to do this thing. And all the way in, he brought the presence of God in, dancing before the Lord. And, you know, and it's just exciting to see. He's like, okay, because the whole thing is like, well, if I can't move on a feeling, if I can't move, you know, because it seems good to me, then how do you do it? And you think, well, God just left us out here then, like a ship with no oar.
Mm.
And it's not true. He's left us the word of God. He's left us the Bible. And so we go with that sense, that feeling, into the word and find out what the word of God says. But, you know, it reminds me of a song, and maybe the lyrics are a little bit different. But, you know, the church in America said, you know what, if 97% of the church is not reading God's word in the context of making decisions like Hezekiah and like David eventually did, and if 81% are not even picking up their Bibles, but yet they're professing faith in Jesus Christ, it makes me think of that song that says, you know, I'm hooked on a feeling because I'm tired of believing that you're in love with me. You know, the love of God. And when you understand, I'm tired of believing, and the church says, you know, I'm just going to do it. Let's just do church. You know, let's go find us. You know, let's just go find us. You know, they have some of those things. We need to get some of those things. Let's just do this thing. Mm. Okay, Big Will. You know, let's just get a board together. Let's just do this thing. We'll throw that presence of God up on that ark, and we'll just, like, it's not going to, you know.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, understand that, my goodness, there is an order to the way that God operates. Yes, you're right. God does want to be with you. God's presence. But his mercy to us quite often is to be distant from us, because his very presence judges sin. So if he just shows up all of a sudden, we fall out like Uzzah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a holy God. He's a consuming fire, right?
That's all right.
And he loves you, but he is a consuming fire. And no matter what people tell you, that everything is held in his hand. And he'll shake the earth to teach us righteousness. And so our God is so big that he can shake this whole earth to teach us righteousness. And this holy God who wants to be with you, it can only be through his son, through the shed blood of his son on the cross of Christ. And in that, when you're talking about the assembly of God's people, it has to be done in an appropriate way. And he talks about it in his word. And you just abide with God, and you begin to understand, my goodness. And what do we learn from this? We learn some things, and you can get this whole thing in its entirety, what was shared at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more about the VFN Dream Center at VFNDreamCenter.org. Maybe you can join us. We have a lot of virtual that can join us online, or also you can join us on the Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm.
On the Gulf Coast. But when you think about what happened with Hezekiah here, he said, you know, he began to go out and he realized, you know, when you're doing what's right, it doesn't mean everybody's going to jump on board and say, hey, this seems good.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed good to him at first, but once you started sharing what God had to say about it, then people started scorning them and trying to shame them and ridicule them. And ridicule is a huge spirit that tries to stop you moving forward. Listen, when you're being, if you have been called by God to do something, and if you went into the Word and you searched it out and you're abiding with God and you're moving in humility, when you're getting ridiculed and scorned, say, you know what? This is confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm being treated like the teacher. This is confirmation. And love those who, for whatever reason, are held captive by a spirit of ridicule. Love the ones who are held captive by a spirit of scorn. Don't get bitter because it's not going to work, because you've got to love the church. But understand, in the process of all this, the presence of God will come if you do this. And so this, in the context of the heart of Nehemiah, I'm telling you, God is revealing some things to us. He says, you know what? This can be done. David's desire was to have the presence of God. Hezekiah's desire was to have the presence of God. And our desire is to have the presence of God once again in America, even in the glory zone. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.